I don't. So it expands way out beyond we can imagine. The people that I'm with, you would know who they were. But this past month, there's been some deaths in Freeport that have been kind of close to my association of people. Trevor Haas was owner of American Pride, and he was close to a co-worker of mine and close to my boss. I met him one time, but that was a tragic accident that happened to him. And so for me to be a part of that, I'm in prayer for that family. And I told them that I'm in prayer for that family. He had seven children. And then we went to Darlington Racetrack in Wisconsin on Saturday night. They were having a fundraising for his family. And even there, we heard the word Jesus come across that microphone, and it kind of, whoa, wait a minute, you don't hear Jesus' name out in public over a microphone. So I knew the person that was speaking had some relationship there, and he had a heart of compassion to help this person. See? So one person makes a tremendous effect on hundreds, and there was hundreds of people there. But he had a prayer for that family, see? And then another was a guy that he was a UPS driver that was a friend of my boss. You know, UPS drivers are full of energy. They're go, go, go. And this guy, I met him maybe one time, just full of energy, happy, loving. And he came home one day after one of his delivery trips and walked right into the wall of his house, fell over, didn't know who he was, where he was. He ended up having brain tumor, cancer in his 40s. And that was, he was close to my boss. We've done some work for his wife because she's taking care of him, but he passed away this past week. But see, that was like a two-year process of him going through. He went through everything that was possible for healing. So there's two different types. There's a instant death there, and then there was a process, slow. But see, there again, being in that, what was that word Nikki mentioned, in that circle of people, I was there. And I could say, I'm praying for his wife and family to help in that situation. So we don't realize how much of an impact we have on people's lives. And the people that we walk with, talk with, work with, sometimes we just take them for granted. My coworkers that I'm with every day, they go through struggles, they go through pain and sicknesses. I'm there around them, surrounding them. What is my effect on their life? Can they turn to me? Can they say, hey, Bill, pray for me now? My kids are going through things. I need to be there for them and not be, I have a tendency to back away, not be a part. But the Lord helped me overcome some things, make myself get involved. So God will put you in specific situations that he, path that he wants you to deal with, to pray for, to give hope, to give encouragement, at the perfect time in their life that you might not know what they're going through. They might be going to commit suicide the next day. And the Lord puts you in their path and it stops. Their thoughts change because you've given a word of encouragement. Jesus loves you. He cares about you. I love you. That changes everything. And we've seen it happen with people that recently somebody was sent a message to Ann that they were wanting to give up, felt overwhelmed, couldn't handle it anymore. The enemy was just blocking them. So Ann was able to minister back. So you just never know who's going to turn to you for love and acceptance and support. And that brings me down to everything I've been thinking about is salvation. And my salvation, your salvation. And can you guarantee me that you're going to heaven? Can you? Can I be the one that says, oh, Henny's going to heaven. I know he's saved. No, I can't be the judge of that. That's in your heart. But anyway, we use a lot of different terms, you know. I am saved. I'm a Christian. I'm born again. You know, and you could go on and on and on in Scripture. And let's look at some Scripture real first. Quick, I got a bunch of them. This is like a Bible study. On Wednesday night, we've been studying Revelation. And by listening, seeing the things that are going on in this world today, we need to be serious about your life and other people's lives around you because it's coming. Things are happening in this world that's in the book of Revelation that brings it out. And we have to be open to that. Here's the one we call ourselves, I'm a believer. Do you believe? More and more there were being added to the Lord those who believed, those who acknowledged Jesus as their Savior and devoted themselves to Him, joined and gathered with them. Crowds, both men and women. So there's that word, I'm a believer. That's just one. I mean, there's a lot of scriptures we could be looking up. Let's go to the next one, where the word Christian is found. Okay, but some man came and reported to them, saying, listen, the men whom you put in jail are standing right here in the temple and teaching the people. Then the military leader went with the attendants and brought the prisoners, but without violence, for they dreaded the people lest they be stoned by them. And that verse 26. Anyway, that one mentions that they were called Christians. They were now called Christians. So that's another term. But what does that really mean to you? And then the next one is John 1 through 3, where it talks about, I'm just going to go the word born again. You're born again, not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, because our flesh cannot comprehend the things of the Spirit unless the Holy Spirit intervenes and opens up our eyes. Because there's a lot of blind people out here. And even the enemy tries to put scales over our eyes so we can't see what he's doing. Okay, and then the word saved. Oh, I'm saved. 1 Corinthians 1:21 says, for when the world with all its earthly wisdom failed to perceive and recognize and know God by means of his own philosophy, God in his wisdom was pleased through the foolishness of preaching to save those who believed, who clung to and trust in and relied on him. So it's through the simple preaching of the gospel. And, you know, I grew up with the wordless book. Remember that? With the different colors. And they would talk about the different colors, black, green, red, and give the plan of salvation through that. Another one was the ABCs of becoming a Christian. So on and on, men have come up with formulas to get saved or be a Christian. But then I thought, what about the thief on the cross? Was he not born again or saved because he didn't go through a formula? What he realized on the cross that he forgave. He took on the sins of you and I. He said, Jesus, remember me in paradise. That's all he said. He didn't have to go through a lengthy prayer. What did Jesus say? Surely you will be in paradise. Surely you will be with me. Simple little prayer. And so sometimes we make salvation too complicated. I believe there's people on their deathbeds that all they do is cry out. Maybe they've never heard the plan of salvation, which we call that, but they've realized, hey, there was a Jesus that died for me. I'm going to call out to him in need. And that's between him and God. So for me to go around and say, so-and-so's a Christian, because look, we've seen so-and-so's that have looked like they were Christian, but totally the opposite. So by looking on that outward appearance can sure fool people. So every day you're hearing of things like that. The last kidnapping was a man that was dedicated to his church. He sang in the choir. He was a deacon. And ran off with a young girl. Super, you know. So you look at a person like that, and you can say, oh yeah, he's a born again Christian. But what is he on the inside? And that's what nobody can see. You can't see my heart. I can't see your heart. Your heart. I can't see your thoughts. So God sees us. He knows what we're thinking. He knows what I do behind closed doors. So who am I trying to fool? God is with us every single day, every step I take, wherever I am. So I have to be thoughtful of him looking at me. He's the one that I'm accountable to. I'm not accountable to Ann. She's not accountable to me. I have to quit judging people, quit criticizing people, and start criticizing me. I have to be the one that I'm checking. And how do I do that? I do it by the Word of God. That's my checkbook. That's my mark. Okay. So now, then I got to thinking. I want to give you some scriptures that if you want to look at your own life and examine, Lord, am I in, you know, am I really a Christian? Well, let's see. Here's the first thing, Matthew 7:21. Not everyone, this is a good scripture. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven, many will say to me on that day, Lord, have I not prophesied in your name, driven out demons in your name, and done many mighty works in your name? So what's the main point here? He who does the will of the Father. I have to be in tune with my, Nikki calls him daddy a lot. And that's exactly what he needs to be to you. Your daddy, your father, that leads you and guides you through the Holy Spirit, and you're in his will. Many times I'm in my own will. We all get on our own will. Just this life we walk, we start getting in our own will. We buy what we want. We do what we want. See? And the enemy gets us off the straight and narrow and puts us on the wide gate. And we start looking for other things to get our satisfaction and to feel good. But not being in the will of God, sometimes I have to do some hard things. I don't want to be in his will. I'll ignore it. I'll put him off. But if he tells me to pray for somebody, that's where I want to be, in his will, not somebody else's will. We used to be in a church that we lived under their will. Did what they wanted us to do. Dress like they wanted us to do. Judge people like they wanted us to do. But no, be in God's will and you'll be free. You'll have freedom. Okay, the next one. Here's another one. 1 John 5:1. Everyone who believes, and here's these parentheses Henny was talking about with the Amplified Bible, believes that Jesus is the Christ, is a born-again child of God, and everyone who loves the Father also loves the one born of him. So it's believing. Do you believe in Jesus? Even my beliefs get tested sometimes. See? My faith and my belief are tested. But the things that keep me are my answers to my prayers. My circumstances that I have gone through in life, my life journey as a Christian, have proven to me where I stand no matter what. And that's where our roots have to be rooted deep. So when God answers your prayer, your root goes a lot deeper. See? So that you can stand strong when the testings come. Okay, here's another important one. Romans 8:16, 14 through 16. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. You're led. For the spirit which you have now received is not a spirit of slavery to put you once more in bondage to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, the spirit producing sonship, which we cry, Abba, Father. Here's what I love. The Spirit himself testifies together with our own spirit that we are the children of God. That's what you need, is that assurance. The Spirit will speak to you. You're my child. And Richard just told me this morning, the Spirit spoke to him about his job. That's an assurance of your salvation. even if it's through dreams, even if it's through somebody else coming to you. And like this word of prophecy or knowledge we got, that's assurance of our salvation. That's powerful. So these are the things to be in prayer for with your salvation, and the devil will come along and try to blindside you of all these things. Okay, here's another important one. Philippians 1:21. Paul got to this point, and I want to get to this point. For me to live is Christ, his life in me, and to die is gain, the gain of the glory of eternity. Meaning, I do not fear death. I want to get to that point. It's coming. We don't know. The Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die, after that the judgment. Okay? So we know it's coming. And through the, I just heard John Eastlick's daughter had a miscarriage this week too. So be in prayer for their family. So, see, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. It's not fun to think about. It's not something we like to talk about. Dealing with my father, 87 now, he's getting up in years. It's all been talked about, you know? And it's good to do that. He knows he's at that point. You know, he knows what's happening to him. He knows this is just the earthly body. But we're going to live on. So that's something else. Okay? Here's another important one. A couple more. What is it? Romans 10:10. For with the heart a person believes and so is justified, declared righteous, acceptable to God, and with the mouth confesses, declares openly, and speaks out freely his faith and confirms his salvation. So the next thing is you confess with your mouth. You're not ashamed. You can sit down and talk with the hardest person, the hater, the antichrist person, the atheist. You're willing to talk to anybody about Christ and what he's done for you. And you're not ashamed to do it. Sometimes we back away. So that's another one, okay? So you confess your belief and your faith in Jesus. That's another sign. Some people, it's easier to do that than others. It's just like there was a time in my life when we were on the streets of Peoria, 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, we'd go into bars, we'd go into massage parlors. We didn't care. We got shot, killed, beat up, it didn't matter, because we wanted to confess Jesus, what he had, what he's done for us. We could care less of what people thought. And we had no fear of walking into any situation. I remember one time at a fair in Peoria, we had a booth, and there was a group of Hell's Angel bikers. And they had, you know, we worship Satan and all this on their jackets and leather. I walked into the middle of them, and we hand out tracts. I said, "Hey, guys, I want to give you something. Talks about Jesus," you know. But you had the boldness of Jesus in you and the Holy Spirit, you could do that, or walk, go into bars and sit down at the bar and talk to guys. They love to talk about Jesus because they're usually out of it. So, but we used to go two by two, so one would be praying and the other one talk. But it's being confessing what you have. You know, if you get a new car, you get something new, what are you going to do? Look what I have. We should be that way with our faith and with Jesus. Okay, the last thing here. 2 Timothy 2:12. Therefore, everyone, wait a minute, change. Therefore, preserve and stand my ground with patience and endure everything for the sake of the elect, God's chosen, that they too may obtain salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. The saying is sure and worthy of confidence. If we have died with him, we shall also live with him. If we endure, ooh, we don't like that word sometimes, we shall also reign with him. If we deny and disown and reject him, he will also deny, disown, and reject us. So, it's enduring to the end we will be saved. And we think we got it bad sometime. Paul and Silas were in prison. People getting killed over in other countries for being a Christian. You know what I'm saying? We're in a country where we're pretty free. We can still go around and talk to people. We can still spread the word of God. We could be hated, but we still have rights. So let's pray. I hope this has helped you see that it's between you and him. That's where the relationship is. Okay? Don't let somebody dictate or the devil dictate your salvation. You know within your own heart. We're not perfect. You know, it's crazy what's going on. Like, man has to be perfect to be a judge, to have a position of leadership. Put Jesus in there then. He's the only one that's without sin. But I'm going to fail, I'm going to fall, I'm going to hurt somebody. But that's where forgiveness comes in. I want to emphasize that. Believe and forgive. If you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive you no matter what. I've had to do it 100 times. Still do. Because I've thought about, what if I did something today, I sinned, and Jesus comes a minute later, a half hour later. Henny, where am I going? Coming to your house. No. But see, think about it. Is that for us to judge? What about the young boy, I think about 4 or 5 years old, that's never heard a word of the gospel? We got a generation coming up today that don't even know what a Bible is. Never been taught anything. Is God going to send them to hell because they weren't allowed to make the choice? Those are heavy questions, and I don't have the answers. But I know what his grace is now. But we know the Word of God, and we want to walk in the Word of God. So let's keep that relationship strong. All right, let's pray. Lord, I just thank you today. Thank you for your word. Thank you for worship. Thank you for touching each and every heart here today. We know you're here. We know you love us. You forgive us. Help us to be sensitive to you and grow in our faith and make our belief stronger each and every day. And we bind the enemy that tries to get us off track. We bind the enemy from allowing thoughts to come in and cause doubt and fear in our lives. Because you're moving us forward, and we're moving on for you. In Jesus' precious name, everybody said, amen. Amen.